Swans have ended a 20-year drought.
Up on our unbelievable!
Big leg, big mark. Knocked down by Stevenson. Cracker gathers, shoots, and Swans have won the grand final.
Hi, this is Dennis Cometti, and you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Welcome to episode 3 of the Monday Waffle Podcast for the season 2017. My name is Luke Shipway. Alongside me hosting the show today is Poppy Penny and Jared Gardner. Poppy, you were at the Claremont-Perth game at Lathlane Park on the weekend. How'd you find that?
Sure was a huge win for Claremont. Pretty much just pumped Perth from woe to go. There were a few big goal kickers and the game was pretty much done by quarter time. What about you, Luke? Do you keep on top of anything this weekend?
Yeah, I saw a couple of games this weekend. Subiaco, West Perth and South Fremantle, Peel. South Fremantle came out victors over Peel 86-43.
How inaccurate were Peel?
Very inaccurate. And that would be very disappointing because they had a couple of good wins to start the year and to go down in that fashion by losing by 43 points to West Perth. South Fremantle would be disappointing for them.
Not a good look for the reigning premiers.
No, not at all. And Subiaco, West Perth, a very close affair. Up at HBF Arena in Joondalup up there, and Subiaco were able to win 87-76. And it was a very close affair. The scores kept going back and forth. He was taking the lead. And Jared, you're at arguably the match of the round between Swan Districts and East Perth.
Speaking of close games.
Yeah, to say the game was a close affair is an understatement. The game finished Swan Districts 11-7-73 to East Perth 9-9-63. East Perth Swan Districts, I'm not going to lie, the amount of Eagles recruits that were in that game, I was leaning to pick East Perth. That's why I did my tipping. But from first quarter, it was all squared up, two goals, one apiece. And then it was a tug of war. You saw Swan Districts then take the control in the second quarter. East Perth came back in the third quarter. But then in the final one, the Swan Districts overran them 4-1. But Probably one of the biggest stories of the game was Lewis Jetta was playing for the Royals. Under an injury cloud for the Eagles. That's why I believe he was dropped. And he didn't look it when he was on the field. There was a moment a few years ago in a grand final where Lewis Jetta took on Cyril Rioli in a foot race, and Jetta won that race, and he's done it again this weekend. He just left essentially the Swan Districts in his dust. He was caught, found out on the wing, all on his own loan, and he just went. Took a run. I'm pretty sure even Swan Districts players were players and the fans probably were actually impressed with him. And just watching him, there was a lot of cheering going on.
What a sight.
You just got excited watching him. And he also had time. That's the way I viewed it. And Tash agreed with me because we were both there. He looked like he was in a different, going slower, but he was actually just faster than everyone else.
Class of his own.
So he looked lazy if anything, but he wasn't really. He was playing well. I have to say Jamie Bennell probably, in my opinion, was the best player for the Swans in that game. He literally marked everything that went down his way. Like he had a giant magnet attached to him. He took 8 marks in that game.
Wow.
And then Tyrese Stewart, a young kid for the Districts, kicked 4 goals, and the team just got around him every single goal. He looked so happy.
So good
to
see.
And even when the team walked off, they were all getting around him. Everyone was clapping and cheering for him. It was a pretty cool sight. After the game, Tash and I went down into the change rooms to have a few chats. I caught up with Jared Blight, who got 20 disposals and 3 inside 50s.
So, pretty tough foot game. Now it's like really breakaway. What was the coach's message at three-quarter time?
Oh, just to stick to the structures. We came out at the start, and we weren't really hitting our structures that well, but we stuck to them, and that's the main point, just to play our game, our style of footy, and which is what we did, and that's pretty much what won us the game. We stuck to it, and rolled him at the end.
Now, they obviously had pretty big inclusions, like Lewis Jetta. Did you have a plan to tackle him or curb his influence, or just stick to the game plan?
No, not really. Just stick to the game plan. We take every team as good players, whoever we come up against. We just want to beat whoever we play. So each of us players come out with a mindset of beating whoever we're on, and that's sort of the winning culture that we're trying to bring to this year. So if we believe we can beat whoever we're on, that's all that matters. So that's what we did today.
Jamie down back just seemed to be marking everything. How good was he in that game?
Mate, Jamie is a freak. He's got springs in his legs. Obviously, that mark he took late in the game, that was pivotal to obviously slotting the goal in the end and getting us over the line. But yeah, he's a freak of a player. What an athlete. I rate him so highly, and he adds so much to our team. So, yeah.
Something a little left field. We've heard players have some pre-game superstitions or rituals. Do you have one yourself? Just something you do every week?
Oh, nah, not really. Night before a game, I have a litre of coconut water, and the morning before a game, coconut water. And I used to always put my right sock on first and my left sock, and then right boot, left boot. But nah, not really anymore. I just rock up to play. I just love getting out there. So as long as I'm out on the ground playing footy. Obviously, I haven't played much in the last 18 months, but I just love being out there.
And Tash managed to catch up with the winning coach, Greg Harding.
You guys have had a really strong start to the season already. Do you think your pre-season and training has really contributed to that?
Oh, I think it has. Certainly, I think we're pretty fit. I think we're in pretty good shape. I think at the moment, the team's sort of gelling together. We've got like this influx of senior players and some kids that we've got a lot of time for as well. And I think our kids are going great. You saw that with Therese Stewart today, only a young fella playing so well. But he's getting great support from guys like Xavier Ellis and Dave Ellard and these guys. So it's developing into a nice mix. I don't think we're at our best today, but the conditions probably didn't suit. Stoked to win, and it sort of set ourselves up nicely for the rest of the season.
Yeah, great. So it was a really back and forth game. There was no really any runaway points, and you had to really fight back in the last quarter.
Yeah.
What do you tell your boys to try to get them riled up, and what do you think got them across the line?
I think they wanted to probably win more than the opposition late, to be perfectly honest. We had a few down with injury and so forth, and I genuinely think there's a real desire to win. Like, when you win two games like we did last year, we were horrific last year, so when the opportunities come up to win a game of footy, it's not hard to get yourself up and going and try and pull one out. So look, I'm really happy with the way they're fighting out games. They want to win, they got a taste of it now, and at 3-0 they're sort of heavily in the season.
That was Greg Harding, and before that I was speaking with Jared Blight. Should point out some other notable players in the game. Nathan Blee for the Royals led the scoring with 4 goals, but the standout for the team was Francis Watson. He had a dominant game of 30 touches, a lot of in and under work, and just seemed to be all over the ground. Whenever he looked, he was there. If he keeps this up, I think the Eagles might give him a call up if he keeps this up.
Yeah.
For the Swans, the former AFL players, David Ellard, he had 30 touches, and Xavier Ellis kicked 2 goals. And also former Magpie, Corey Galt, he got 20 touches and 4 inside 50s. Played pretty well.
Not bad. Speaking of standout performances, the milestone man for Perth, Clint Jones, 300th game.
Mm.
29 touches. He's still going all right in his 30s.
He's still got it.
Oh, absolutely. Now, Manuel for Claremont, not only did he kick 5 goals, he also had 26 touches. So I think hands down best on ground.
Oh, yeah.
Also, Richardson for Claremont and Stack for Peel kicked 5 goals as well. 3 5-goal hauls. And considering how dominant Claremont were, it's surprising that Perth had a couple of 4 and 5 goal scorers each. Also, notable performances from McKenna for Perth. He also got 29 touches, very gallant in defeat. And then Banfield for Claremont had 27. Any standouts for you, Luke?
Looking at the South Fremantle and Peel game first, for South Fremantle, Corey DeLelio had 4 goals and 16 touches. He was the leading goal scorer for South Fremantle. Ashton Hams, he had 34 touches and 1 goal. Yeah, a really strong performance from him. 10 marks in that as well. And Shane Hockey, he had 26 touches. And one other that stand out was Adam McIntosh. He had only had 21 touches, but 12 marks. He was very strong.
Ooh, very good.
Very strong overhead. And for Peel, some shining lights in a defeat. Harley Ballack had 29. Tommy Sheridan had 25 touches. Sean Darcy, who's a draft pick from this year, he had 12 touches and 35 hitouts. So he was very very dominant in the ruck.
He might be getting a call-up based on Freo's recent performances.
Well, yeah, it'll be tough to break into the rucks for the Freo because of Sanderlands and Griffin, but he's looking good for the future. I mean, Sanderlands obviously doesn't have too many more years with the Dockers. And also Sam Collins only had 9 touches, but he was very, very strong in defence for the Peel Thunder.
Just quickly, you mentioned Balick. Post-game after the Dockers' loss, Ross Lyon singled him out and mentioned him and said he's put together some good games, so he might get a call-up too.
Yes, I think the Dockers need all the help they can get, so we'll see how they go. And moving on to West Perth and Subi, Subiaco won, and Chris Phelan had 31 touches. He was very strong. Lachlan Delahunty had 24 and 19 hitouts.
Wow.
Which is a strong game for him. Seeing that he's not main ruckman as well, he's more of a forward. For him to have 19 hitouts It's a good effort for him. And Ben Sokal had the big game on the weekend. He had 5 goals and 25 touches, 11 marks. Just all round a very good performance by the forward there. And Lee Kitchen chipping in with a 28 touches was good for Subiaco as well. And moving on to West Perth, although they lost, it was a close game. And Shane Nelson just continues to do what he does in the Waffle. He got 33 touches. Trent Manzone had 35. Tyler Keedle had 4 goals for the Falcons. And Chris Shanahan also had 27 touches. So, you know, they lost, but many strong performers for West Perth. They'll be hoping to keep building on those performances from their players and look to have a win in round 4.
There were some really big goal hauls this week.
Yeah.
Few fours and fives.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Liam Ryan for Subiaco, he kicked 2 goals, so he maintains the lead.
He's out
in
clear,
the goal
isn't
kicking.
He?
Yeah, Leroy Jetta was unable to trouble the scoreboard this weekend, so Liam Ryan has him by 2 goals because they were tied last week. But yeah, it's a good start to the season for him.
If you're loving the Monday Waffle podcast, make sure you head to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Monday Waffle, for more awesome content. And while you're there, give us a like.
This is a new segment on the Monday Waffle podcast. It's called The Rookie Quiz. Just to give a brief explanation about the quiz, we have a lot of females that have joined the team on the Monday Waffle, and they say their footy knowledge is not quite up to scratch, and they've been learning as we've been going along this season. So we're going to get some of these people on air each week to give them a little quiz to see how they're progressing with their football knowledge. And first up, we have Hannah. Hannah, how's it going?
Not bad, Luke. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. Are you ready for this quiz?
I don't know about that, but let's give it a shot.
Okay, question 1. How many points for a goal?
6.
Correct. Ding, ding, ding. How many points if you hit the post?
1.
2 out of 2. Who said this girl's a rookie?
Come I know. On, guys.
How far can a player run with the ball before they have to bounce it?
15 metres, I believe.
That's another one correct. Jeez, this is called the veteran
expert
quiz.
Expert. Sorry, yeah. Is this an expert quiz?
Okay, here's a bit of a tougher one. Which waffle clubs are aligned with AFL clubs?
Peel?
Yes, that's 1.
How many are there?
There's 2.
I'm going to take a wild guess here and I'm going to say the Bulldogs.
Incorrect. 1 out of 2. The second one
I think I get a half point there. What are we thinking?
Possibly. We'll have to go to the judges for that a bit later on. But the second one was the East Perth Royals.
Ah, there you go. Okay.
And now the last question is, how many teams are in the waffle competition?
Oh, no. I didn't plan for this one. Can we give me kind of like a little bit of a cheat? Like,
it's
give
between
me
the number 8 and 10.
I'm going to go with, so it could be 8 or 10.
It could be.
I'm going to go with, I'm going to go with 8.
Incorrect. It is 9.
Look, I say these things, but I don't write them. Pop the confetti. I'm Dennis Cometti. Listen to the Monday Waffle. Oh, yeah. Come on.
Another new segment of the Monday Waffle podcast for season 2017 is What's Not with Tony Knott. Reporter Sean Lindsay has come up with this segment with Swan District's player Tony Knott, and should be an interesting one. Here it is.
Welcome to this week's installment of Is It Hot or Is It Not? With
Tony Knott.
I'm Sean Lindsay, and
I'm Tony Knott.
First of all, Tony, I thought you could just tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm Tony Knott.
Yeah, good stuff, good work. Okay, let's get started. First thing, how about tinny singlets and jeans? Is that hot?
It's not.
Yeah, cool, thought so. What about 3/4 length pants?
It's not.
Oh, that's interesting. What about public displays of affection if you're older than 21?
It isn't.
Yeah, it isn't hot. I completely agree with you. What about babies crying on airplanes?
It's not.
And what about racism?
No way, Jose. I'm Tony Knott.
Great answer, Tony. You're very wise. All right, just to finish off, you've been listening to What's Hot and What's Not with Tony Knott. Our last one is this hot? Missing a goal from directly in front, 20 metres out.
It's not.
Thanks, Tony. Good luck for the rest of the year. This may or may not be the views and or opinions of Tony Knott.
No way, Jose.
This is Poppy's Pick on the Monday Waffle. Now it's time for everybody's favourite segment, Poppy's Picks. This round, Mia, who didn't actually tip, got 4 because she got all the away teams.
Oh, God. That's right. That's how it would work.
Yeah, of course. After getting two rounds in a row, now all of a sudden she's getting 4s. Mel, Hannah and Tash all got 3. And then the rest of us, including Luke, scratches his perfect record and he only got 2.
Overconfidence gets you.
How's the leaderboard looking, Luke?
Yeah, it's a bit of a humble pie for me this week, not getting 4 out of 4, but I'm still on top. I'm tied on top with Mel and Tash. We're all on 10. Jared's in sole possession of 2nd on 9. Mm. Jimmy, Danny are in 3rd on 8. And Poppy, Sean and Mia are tied on 6. And then Hannah's sitting lowly down the bottom on a score of 5. But she had a better week this week. She scored 3, so maybe she can work her way up the leaderboard. And as you saw on that rookie quiz.
Oh, she's learning.
She's starting to get to know a bit of football, so she'll work her way up.
She could win this by the end of it.
Yeah, you never know. It's still early.
No, she won't.
So this round, I'm going to tip Claremont to win over East Perth. And then I'm going to go with Subi over Peel, I think, after Peel's poor showing on the weekend. Then probably East Frio over Perth, and then South Frio to get over West Perth. What about you, Luke?
I'm going to tip the exact same of you, Poppy. I got Claremont over East Perth.
Big mistake.
Subi go over Peel. Yeah, the toughest one is this Perth-East Fremantle game. Mm. East Fremantle coming off a bye. You think they'd be fresh. Perth coming off a heavy defeat to Claremont. So have to go with East Fremantle, although it is at Lath Lane. And then South Fremantle over West Perth. Yeah, and Fremantle. It's a home game for South Fremantle. And Swan's got the bye. So.
Oh, I'm going to go a little different. It's very similar, but a little different. For me, so the 7-10 game at Leaderville on Friday, I'm going to be going for Claremont because I just... They've been chugging along pretty nicely. I'm going to go for Peel on Saturday at 12:05 at Leaderville. I think they might get a few handy inclusions maybe this week, which might put them one step ahead of Subi. At 2:40 later, at Lath Lane Park, I'm going to be going for East Frio, and at 4:15, I'll be going similar as you, South Fremantle. But also on 7 Mate, the Subiaco Peel game will be shown.
And of course, Swan Districts have got the bye.
If you like footy, you'll love us. It's the Monday Waffle.
Looking at the Premiership ladder after round 3, Swan Districts sit on top with 3 wins and no losses. Claremont, having a bye in round 2, they're only on 2 wins, but they haven't lost a match yet, so they're in second position. And then you have Peel, South Fremantle and Subiaco all have 2 wins and 1 loss as their record. West Perth is 1 win and 1 loss, and then East Perth, Perth and East Fremantle haven't got a win this season for 2017, and it's going to be a tough year for them, it looks like, those 3 teams. Yeah. But that's all we have for round 3, or episode 3 of the Monday Waffle podcast. I'm Luke Shipway.
I'm Jared Gardner.
And I'm Poppy Penny. Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.